going to be continuing the series on the blood. So glad that you made it here tonight. This is actually one of my favorite parts of this series, because I get to wail on sin. Not on the sinners, just on the sin. But we're going to begin this evening in Revelation chapter 5. So if you want to go there, Revelation chapter 5. Now, this is referring to the saints in heaven. And it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Everybody say hallelujah. That's good news there. He is worthy. He's worthy to take the scroll. This part of Revelation, this is what we refer to as the song of the redeemed. And you are going to sing this song. One day we're going to sing this song in heaven. So you might think about learning the words now. It'd be a good song to learn. So I've been preaching this series entitled "The Benefits of the Blood." You know, the Bible, as I've mentioned, teaches us that the essence of life is in the blood. You can find that in Genesis 9, Leviticus 19, and Deuteronomy 12. Because blood is a somewhat mystical substance, at least in the spirit realm, right? We talked about how blood has a voice. The blood of Abel cried out from the ground after he was slain. And we learned in Hebrews that Jesus' blood speaks of better things than the blood of Abel, right? Hebrews, better all the way around. New covenant compared to the old covenant. The blood of Jesus speaks better things because it contains really the life essence of God Himself. The blood of Jesus contains the very life of God. And if we can focus our faith on the blood, we can enter into the fullness of God's salvation that has been provided for us. Important stuff. And when we talk about all that God has provided in salvation, we're talking about a whole lot more than just going to heaven. We're talking about life on earth as well, and the many blessings and the benefits that come to us through that blood. Now, one of the reasons I believe that you are a part of this church is that you are aspiring to a life that transcends the ordinary. You want something more than just everyday life. You want something more to live for. You want something more to believe in. You want something more to focus your life on than the ordinary individual out there. And there are a lot of churches you could go to. I mean, if you're like me, well, a lot of you aren't quite like me. I travel a good distance to get here. And I pass by, I don't know how many churches to get here. I don't know, there's probably at least 100 churches closer to my house than this one. But I come to this one. And I'm sure no matter how close you might live to this church, there's probably several churches that you pass on your way to this church. Why are you here? Because there's something about this church. Because we believe a certain aspect of the Christian faith, and we try to live that out. Right? So there is benefit in coming to this church, in my opinion, and I've preached for years, you know, a good church is worth the drive. So you'll see people who come from Manitowoc, and you'll see people that come up from past Pulaski, and you'll see folks like us that come from the Lakeshore area, because we believe this is a good place to be, and I'm glad that you are here. Now, you can be a benefactor of the good things that God has for you by faith in the blood of Jesus. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening, and thank you, Lord, for the saints that have gathered here, those who are faithful to be in your house, those who are faithful to serve in this service, those who are faithful to be in your word and to study and desire more of you. Lord, bless them tonight. with your word and bless them tonight, Lord God, with an understanding by your spirit of the things that we're going to hear tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are many benefits to the blood of Jesus, and I've been preaching on it. I preached about the first one that I talked about. You remember that one? The benefit of total redemption, where we compared the atonement that was available in the Old Testament compared to the redemption that we have, how we're not just covered by the blood, but that the blood actually cleanses us and actually washes and dissolves away the sin. It doesn't just cover it. Hallelujah. I talked about the benefit of a meaningful life. Again, one of my favorite parts of this message is that because you have been impacted by the blood of Jesus, because you have the benefit of Jesus's blood in your life, you have an eternal life, and everything in your life now becomes eternal to the degree that you can have an impact, not on life just in the short time that we live as human beings on this earth. You know, our lifespan here is somewhat limited in comparison to eternity, but you are going to live long beyond your life here into eternity. And the things that you do here, because you have that understanding, because you have that connection by the blood, the things that you do here will echo on into eternity. The people that you impact here, you'll see in eternity. Hallelujah. So that gives life meaning. It's not just, you know, get up, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, and every now and then try and eke out a little bit of fun wherever you can, but then it's back to the same old grind and the same old meaningless futility of natural life. We are living a supernatural life that extends far beyond this human natural life, well into eternity. And I need to move on. I don't want to re-preach that whole message. But you now have a life of meaning through the blood of Jesus. We also have the benefit of the blood, what I call bold access, where once in the Old Testament, one man could enter into the Holy of Holies once a year and be in the presence of God. You now, because of the blood of Jesus, can go boldly into the throne room. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this blood is good stuff. It's good stuff. And then, of course, there's the benefit of released blessing by that interaction, that connection that you have with the blood. Not only is the curse broken in your life, but it also opens the door to blessing in your life. So we have the benefit of released blessing. But now, I want to go back to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, where it says, "And they sang this new song, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood.'" Who's it talking about? Crickets. Who's this talking about? Yes, Jesus. Jesus is the one who is worthy to open the scrolls, to open those seals. See, the seals are what seal the end time events. All right? And the reason John was weeping, thinking nobody was worthy to break those seals and release those end time events, is because, well, without someone to release the end time events, everything would continue on just as it always has been. So even though, you know, in some regards we think, wow, well, some pretty unhappy things happen when those seals are broken, but if they don't get broken, if those seals aren't opened, those scrolls aren't opened, then everything is just going to continue on as it has always been. And we know all of human history has been a sad saga of pain and sorrow and war and disease and never-ending suffering. Now, I know it may not seem that way to you. It may not have been that way in your life. Maybe you've lived a blessed life. But by comparison to the rest of the world, you know, we live in America, and we are blessed when we don't even realize it. I mean, there are so many people who think this is just a terrible place to live, but they've never lived anywhere else. They have no real context. They have no understanding. But you have been blessed. But believe me, the world has been a wreck ever since the fall in the garden. And it's only getting worse. Here in Revelation 5, moving on to verse 10, it says, and, talking about Jesus, he has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. How does that happen? It is by the blood of Jesus. It is by the blood of Jesus that we are made kings and priests and that we're enabled to reign on the earth. So, number five, all right, I've preached four different benefits. The fifth benefit I'm going to preach on is the benefit of continued cleansing. The benefit of continued cleansing, I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And it says, when we came to Jesus, well, let's just read it. 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us all from sin. When we came to Jesus, our past sins were washed away in the blood. Hallelujah. Now that's good news. That is good news. But what about the sins you commit now? Hopefully it's a whole lot less than it was in the past before you knew Jesus. But come on, we still sin. We still sin. This can create quite a dilemma for believers. I mean, how many of you used to sin with the best of them? You know, in your former life, as we say. You were right there with the rest of them and just on the same par. And you know, back then, it really didn't bother you. It really didn't bother you. And then you got saved. Well, and that just took all the fun out of it. Took all the fun out of sinning. That's why backsliders are the most miserable people on the earth. I mean, they're not into Jesus enough to enjoy him, but they're also in a position where they can't enjoy the sins of the flesh in the world anymore. They're kind of stuck in that middle space. You know, I got saved the way that I believe everybody ought to get saved. Fanatically, radically saved. I mean, when I got saved, it was all in. It was like, start cleaning out the house, get rid of all the junk, stop changing, you know, doing the things that I was doing. And I worked hard at making my life completely turn around, because all I wanted to do from that point on was to live for him. Because I understood. I mean, I'm telling you, it was a spiritual conversion where I understood by the Holy Spirit. I think this is the only way you can really get this understanding. I understood that I was going to die. I was a dead man. I had no hope. But then there was a Savior, and Jesus saved me. And from that point on, I have been dedicated to living my life for him. I didn't ever want to sin again, but I did. And as I studied, this is an odd thing. As I studied my Bible, I learned there were more sins than I had originally thought. And everybody have that little revelation as time went on. I was like, oh, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be doing that. Ooh, I didn't know that was wrong. I learned a whole lot. I sinned less, but I still sinned. I was getting better, but I wasn't perfect, and I'm still not. Here in 1 John, starting in chapter 1, verse 7 again, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. If we walk in the light, it says. If we walk, walking in the light is not synonymous with walking without sin. You understand that? Walking in the light doesn't mean you are sin-free. If it meant that, well, you wouldn't need the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, would you? So, it's possible to walk in the light and still sin. Walking in the light is not walking in perfection without sin. It's walking without hypocrisy. I want you to get this. It's walking without hypocrisy. It's walking in openness and honesty. It's not pretending to be something that you're not. Walking in the light is walking in truth. And by the way, that's one of the basics of relationship. One of the basics of relationship is having a truthful experience with other people where you can trust them. Until we're honest about who we are, we can't have real fellowship with people or with God. Think about that. Until we are honest with who we are. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of people who don't think that Sarah and I appear as spiritual as we ought to be. See, some people think you have to be a super saint. You have to be super spiritual. And those people, they make it a point to show you just how spiritual they are. Don't they? Now here's the deal. I want you to be just as spiritual as you are. But I don't want you to be a phony. See, I want you to be just as spiritual as you are. I just don't want you to be a phony. If you're phony, you can't relate to people and they can't relate to you. Because you're not genuine, you're not real, you're not authentic. If we walk in the light, that is honestly walking, not pretending, right? Not making up any lame excuses, not hiding our sin. When we do that, well, then we can have true fellowship with one another. You know, I know there are people that I encounter, particularly as a pastor, people that I'll interact with, have conversations with, and I know that when I'm talking with them, they are telling me what they think I need to hear. They're telling me what they think I want to hear. I'll ask them a question about some personal aspect of their life, and I can tell by what they're telling me, they're just giving me a line that they think I will approve of. And that really doesn't work. That's not walking in the light. Walking in the light is being honest enough to say, well, this is where I'm at. This is who I am. I'm not going to put on spiritual airs. I'm not going to be, more spiritual than I should be, and I'm not going to hide my spirituality. I'm going to be just as spiritual as I really am. And maybe it's not as spiritual as you, or maybe it's not as spiritual as you'd like, or maybe it's more spiritual than you. However it is, as long as it's real, as long as it's authentic, then we can have fellowship. Right? But if we're phony, if we're just kind of putting on airs, which is almost epidemic in the church, unless we're open and relatable, we really don't have the kind of fellowship that we want. That's one of the things I like about small groups. It gives you enough time to get to know people so that we can kind of put down our guard and be real and allow others to have an impact in our lives and for us to have an impact in their lives as we walk in the light, as we walk in honesty and truthfulness. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess our sins, he what? It says right up there. He forgives us. Right. And what? And cleanses us. I tell you, that's pretty good news. This is all good news. If we confess, okay, if you're not walking in the light that is in the truth, then you're not likely to be confessing much of anything, right? You're just going to pretend everything is good and you are good. If we confess, it says He is faithful and just. He's faithful because of His Word. He's faithful because of His Word, and He is just because of His blood, the blood of Jesus. God is faithful. He will do what He said He would do. Not just sometime, every time. That's faithful. That is being faithful. And if we confess our sin, and God does not forgive us, then He's a liar. And that will never happen. Because God is faithful. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." See how we need to walk in the light and not cover things up, not try and put on this facade. God is not only faithful, He is just. He is righteous. Meaning he does the right thing all the time. He does what is right. And He is doing what is right when He forgives us. Because remember, God doesn't just forgive us merely on the basis of a benevolent desire. He doesn't forgive us just because He thinks you're a pretty good person and He kind of likes you. And oh yeah, you're a little scamp every now and then. You do goofy things, but I still love you, so I'll just forgive you. No, that's not why He forgives you. That wouldn't be righteous. No, He forgives us on the legal basis that a price has been paid. And the funny thing is, some people might think, whoopee, that means I can just go out and sin. I can sin all I want. You know, some people have grown up in a religious tradition, I'll call it that, where that was their basic understanding. You know, I can be forgiven, so what does it matter? I know of people who would go to confession on Saturday morning and confess that what they were going to do Saturday night. All right? They knew they were going to be involved in some sinning, and so they just got it out Saturday morning so they could do their penance, whatever that was, and so that would kind of get it out of the way. Then they were set to go. Well, how many would know that's wrong? First, because that's not walking in the light, right? You're not being honest because you're really not intending to forsake sin. You just really want to be able to get away with it. More importantly, it's extraordinarily dangerous. It's a dangerous thing to do. There's nothing more dangerous than to continue sinning willfully, thinking that the blood of Jesus will cover it. In fact, in Hebrews 10:26, it says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." Well, I tell you, that's a serious word there. If we continue sinning willfully, that word willfully means it's a continuous present tense verb. It's like you just keep doing it. There is sinning because of weakness, and there is sinning because of will. You decide you're going to. If we're going to go on sinning willfully, you know, where I know it's wrong, but I'm going to keep on doing it because I can get forgiven anyhow. Well, again, verse 26, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. See, you become an adversary. When you continue to willfully sin, you become an adversary of God. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Man. That's one of those lightning on a strike right there. Add some drama to that line, because that's a very important line. When you say, I'll just keep confessing my sins, but I'm still going to keep doing it, even though I know it's wrong, I'm not going to stop. Well, then you have trampled the Son of God under your feet, you have insulted the Spirit of grace, and you have regarded the blood of Christ, the blood of the covenant, you've regarded it as a common thing. Oh, may it never be. I mean, I've been preaching this series on the benefits of the blood. The blood of Christ is not a common thing. And for us to ignore the salvation and the redemption that comes from it and just continue on living as though there were no sin or redemption, that is counting the blood of Jesus a common thing. You don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. Let's move on. Number six, and my last point in this series. Number six is the benefit of a sanctified life. The blood not only forgives, not only continues to cleanse, it can bring you into a state of sanctification. These are big words we use in the Christian community. Hebrews 13:12, we're getting a lot of scripture here from Hebrews, because remember what I said, Hebrews talks about the better. As opposed to the old covenant, the new covenant is so much better. Hebrews 13:12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Jesus suffered outside the gate. Now, we know the blood of Jesus cleanses the past sin. We saw that in Ephesians 1:7. In 1 John 1:7 today, we found out we also have continued cleansing. So there's a provision for the sin that we, in our struggle against the weakness of the flesh, continue to commit. But in this verse, here we find there is the benefit of sanctified life, where the power of sin is eradicated out of your life by the blood. The power of sin is defeated. The blood of Jesus not only forgives your past sin and cleanses the present sin, but the blood of Jesus sanctifies us, or it sets us apart from sin. Hebrews 13:11, going back one scripture, it says, for the bodies of those animals, again, it's making a comparison between the old covenant and the new, talking about the sacrificial system that took place before the new covenant. It says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. They're burned outside the camp. And this is talking about the sin offering that was made on the Day of Atonement. See, there were sacrifices all the time. They were often offered up there at the temple on the brazen altar. The Bible talks about the aroma would ascend in a sweet-smelling savor before the Lord. But not the sin offering. See, that animal was killed for its blood that was to be sprinkled in the tabernacle for sin. The blood was sprinkled in the tabernacle, but the body of that animal was not burned on that brazen altar. There was no aroma that arose to God, a sweet-smelling aroma from that animal, the animal of the sin sacrifice. That animal was completely rejected by God. It was taken outside of the camp, outside of the city, if it was in more modern Israel, because it was a symbol of God's rejection of sin. A symbol of his rejection of sin. So we get to verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Remember, Calvary is outside the gate. It was outside of the city. It was not near the temple. Jesus became the sin sacrifice for all of humanity. He was thoroughly rejected by God. There's something else about the usage of that blood from the sin offering. We find it in Exodus 29 and Leviticus 8. That blood was used to sanctify the priests. So the blood of the sin offering, well, in the book of Revelation, we read that you and I, through the blood of Jesus, were made to be kings and priests, right? You are a part of the new covenant. There was a sanctification ritual involving blood for the Levitical priests. That's for Aaron and his sons and all of the priests. They would take the blood from the sin offering and they would apply it first to the tip of the right ear. And I remember reading this early on in my Christian life and thinking, well, that's just kind of interesting. Take a little blood and put it on their ear. And then they would take some blood and they put it on the right thumb. And then they would take some blood and they would put it where? On their right big toe. Interesting. In doing so, they were consecrated to God, sanctified from the world by the blood. Blood on the ear. I think that relates to sanctifying our senses. Right? There are things we don't expose our senses to anymore. If you're a believer like me, I don't watch things that I used to watch before. I don't listen to things that I used to listen to before. I guard myself somewhat. You know, in this day and age, it's kind of hard to do sometimes. There's a lot to be exposed to. But even in that case, I believe I'm sanctified from that. Hallelujah. I want to be sensitive to the Spirit, so I try and push away those things that are going to be a problem. I hope you do the same. So the blood on the ear sanctified the senses. The blood on the thumb sanctified their actions. There are things that we just don't do anymore. Things that we used to do that we say, no, it's not appropriate anymore. I mean, maybe I could do it. Maybe I'd be forgiven. Well, surely I'd be forgiven. But I just don't do it. I try and avoid those things. I want to walk in the light. I want to be honest. I want to be open with folks. I don't want to have to hide things that I've done. I don't want to have to try and make up for things that I may have done. So, sanctified in their actions, and then blood on the big toe. Sanctified in our travel, I guess. Where you go. There are places that I don't go anymore. Places that I used to go, I don't go anymore. Not that I couldn't, just I don't. No purpose in it, no value to it. It doesn't get me closer to God. In fact, it will affect my walk with the Lord. So I just stay out of those places. The blood can sanctify your life. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that we understand the sanctification power that your blood has in our lives and that we by faith receive it and begin to walk in it. Lord, in the Spirit, I pray that you will anoint each one of us in our ear and our thumb and our toe with an understanding that how that blood was to sanctify us. Lord, that we would guard our senses, that we would walk as you would have us walk, that our actions would portray a revelation of Christ to the world around us. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for us to have the understanding and for us to have not just the willpower, but the spiritual power to overcome temptation and to walk a walk that is worthy of the calling that you have called us to. All of us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So, just to wrap this up, my 6 points, the benefits of the blood, the benefit of total redemption. Man, it's the first and the bestest of all because of what it's done for us. Hallelujah. The benefit of a meaningful life, the benefit of bold access. You know, you can go to God anytime and He'll receive you. It's not like oh, nope, sorry, you're out. You got to do something else. No, Jesus did it all. You have bold access into the presence of God. The benefit of the released blessing. Man, are we blessed or not? And the curse has been stopped. The benefit of continued cleansing. Even though I know I ought not to, there are times I do sin, but I know I'll be cleansed if I confess and ask for forgiveness. He said, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's happened by the blood. And then, of course, the benefit of a sanctified life. Man, oh man, I'm grateful that you were able to be here as part of this series. I hope those who are watching online can, if they didn't see all three of them, go back, because all of this is important stuff. But otherwise, that's my message. I thank you for coming. God bless you. Enjoy the blood of Jesus. His name.